Let's open our Bibles tonight to Mark 4:35. This is where we were on Sunday. Thank you, Jesus. It's important to pray, church. Praying in the Spirit builds tracks for your life, and you walk out on those things. When Jesus told Peter to come, he walked right out on that word. Amen. You can walk right out on that word. He walked on the water, but he was walking on the word. Amen. So we're called the end time people, which we're in the end times, in case you haven't looked at the calendar. We are in the end times, if you know anything about Bible calendar. And you know, so our job is to be John the Baptist of this time. We are to be a voice of one crying in the wilderness, bringing up the valleys, bringing down the mountains, so that the King of Glory can come in. Amen. And so that's our job, and so we do that. Let's look at Mark 4:35. I want to talk to you tonight. The title of the message is Receiving Together. We are going to receive together. On the same day when even had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Say that with me. Let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. He was asleep in the stern. He was in the stern asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said, teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. He said, shh, quiet down. And it did. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now, on Sunday, we began to talk about this. We said that Jesus said they're going to the other side. We know that Satan pulled a preemptive strike because he knew that some great things, burdens were going to be removed, yokes were going to be destroyed over in the Gadarenes, okay? He knew that Jesus had purpose where he was going, just like he knows you have purpose. Amen. And so he tried to preemptive strike there. Jesus wasn't concerned because he's riding on the word that he spoke. Amen. He already said, I'm going and we're going to the other side. Amen. So and he was asking them, you know, why are you so fearful? Why don't you have any faith? Now, we're talking about all of us going to the place where God wants us. All of us together as a body. All of us going. God has a dream for us. The dream is victory. The dream is success. The dream is health. So we talked about the things Sunday, and you should go back and listen to that because I can't go back over all of the teaching about the Jesus part there. But we talked about things that we should consider to help us focus and to get to the other side. Now, so I ask you all to consider some things. I want to talk about those things again tonight. 3 John 1:2 says, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health as your soul prospers. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. Right? Okay. So we see that if we're going to prosper and be in health, then our soul has to prosper. And our soul is our mind, will, and emotions. Your spirit man is saved. Your spirit man is perfect. But can I talk Texas with you? Your soul ain't. Amen. Your soul isn't. Your soul's not there, and your body isn't either. And so one third of you is okay. The idea in life is to feed that spirit so much that it's in ascendancy, that it rules, and then body and soul just march right along behind it, and they do what it tells them to do. So you feed that spirit, and that's exactly what happens. So you have to let your spirit be the strongest with the spirit, soul, and body, and then you're going to have things go your way. The Apostle Paul said that we'll be transformed if we'll renew our mind, so that spirit man being in ascendancy will help you get what you need to change your mind and help you not be conformed, that's religion, but be transformed as a son of God. Our daughters of God, you know, same thing. Praise the Lord. So this is what you do, and you can't just do it once. You have to do it all of your life. This is your part that you do. You're always renewing. So we need to consider or think about things that are going to get us to the other side. Our goal is to receive from the open hand of God unusual, extraordinary, supernatural provision. That's our goal. And I want to say that provision means a lot of things. We get what we require would be the best way to say it. Whatever it is we require, health-wise, socially, physically, financially, that's what provision is. God created us. We make the demand. He makes the provision. He set it up that way. That's the way things are. He likes it. He's like a, well, he is. He's not like. He's a good daddy. Amen. So our goal is to receive from the open hand of God these unusual, extraordinary, supernatural provision. Where did I get that? From the prophet. I got that from Jerry Savelle. This is what God told him in October is going to happen to the body of Christ. And so I'm going with Brother Jerry. Brother Jerry hears from the Lord, and so we are all going to go and have this year if you'll go with me. Yes. Praise the Lord. Reminds me of a song that Reba used to sing, Come and Go With Me to the Other Side. Praise the Lord. So I asked you to consider four things. Your health, living from your spirit, this local church, and preparing for wealth transfer. That's what I ask you to begin to consider. There are many things to look at when we're talking about being healthy. We need a strong immune system. That's just the truth. We need to have one. And everyone has ways of getting there. I don't consider that my business with you. I'm just telling you, you ought to listen to the Holy Ghost. It would be a good thing to consider to listen to the Holy Spirit about how to get healthy, stay healthier, get your immune system up this year, because God's got some things for you to do and you're going to have to feel like doing them. Amen. And so we do understand this. This is a real easy principle. Seed time and harvest are involved in having a good immune system, because if you put pink gasoline in your car, it's going to sputter down the road. It's not going to go far. So depending on what you're putting in is what you're going to get out. Not just food, but words.
Oh, that's good.
You have to deal with your soul in this area as well. Amen. And then exercise and on and on. So I just want to encourage you to listen to the Holy Spirit yourself about that and to wake up to some facts. And if I could say this to you and you take this from me, that you don't live in a cycle of just treating symptoms. You want to go beyond that and get to the root of things and get your healing. Now, as far as faith is concerned, we know Jesus is the healer. Do we know that? Jesus is the healer. We see it all the time. We had a couple of people get healed this week. Praise the Lord. And glory to God. But healing, what we need to understand from the Bible, healing is already yours. God knew that you would need it. I like what somebody said. They said, guys, just a hint. This is what I heard at the minister's conference. Just a hint. Those people that Jesus were healing were on the Mediterranean diet. In other words, you could be eating clean, but if your soul's giving you a problem, it could come out here. Okay. So it's not just all eating clean. There's other things involved. So God provided healing for you. Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. By the way, that Mediterranean diet's pretty good. We've eaten it when we were in Israel. You got to get used to it, but it's good. All right. So I heard the story, and I wanted Brother Hagin tell me this, and I wanted to say it to you. He told me this the other day when I was listening to him. And he said that there, what he noticed over the years is that there were a lot of people that they'd come through the healing line and they would get their healing. They'd get a manifestation of it. They would get a miracle. He said a year later, they were back with those same symptoms. And then he would go visit them. Back then, preachers were always going out to drop by and visit and everything. They didn't have the social media and stuff, but he'd go by and visit. And he said the people around this person would be saying, we told him we were just worried that it was going to come back on him.
Well, hello.
Okay. Things like that. Or somehow open the door. Or sometime, for some reason, there was another attack on their body. So the point I want to make to you is, develop faith concerning your healing. Develop your faith concerning healing. Just like you would anything else. Those of you that are healthy, you young ones out here, develop it now. Develop your confession about your healing now. Don't wait. Understand. Now listen to me. Healing is not a promise. It's a fact. The Bible says that Jesus took a beating for your healing. It's paid for. Every sickness is not God trying to teach you a lesson. Every sickness was under the curse. Christ has redeemed you from the curse. He paid by taking a beating, by blood pouring out of him. He spilled his blood, took a beating, and took sickness on him. It came on him. He took sickness on him. Every horrible thing. The Bible says he was marred beyond recognition. But I tell you, he paid for it already. And you don't have to. And you need to understand that there's a covenant between you and God. He said that healing was the children's bread. It belongs to you. And so I recommend that you brush up on that this year and you just walk in health this year so that you can be right in the middle of this awakening. Because you're going to want to do some jumping and shouting and helping people, and you might have to get out and do a few things a little more. Praise the Lord. So consider building your faith in the area of healing. Do you receive that?
Yes.
All right. Praise the Lord. When you live from your spirit or from the inside out, you're depending totally on God. This seems like the hardest thing for people to get. I mean, it took me years to get this. I don't know if we just lived on God helps those that help themselves or what. You know, just stuff grandma taught it and we bought it. You know, but the truth is that God wants you to depend on him. He wants you to be able to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit to get the answer instead of figuring or relying on past experiences. You may have fixed something last time one way, but Holy Spirit has a better way of getting it done.
Yeah.
Well, I'll just do what I did last time. Maybe not. But if you immediately just start figuring, well, from my experience, that's just your pride anyway. But you could just go to this. Holy Spirit, show me what to say. That's the main thing. And learn to react from the Holy Spirit. You don't judge life by what you can see and feel. You judge by making what God says the final authority in your life. He is the final authority. You're going to have what you say if you say what he says.
Yeah, there you go.
Jesus didn't just walk up to the leper and say, he'd be healed, da 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 da, or whatever. He listened to the Holy Spirit. He was a man filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, Son of God, but he's showing us, he laid down his divinity to show us how men operate in the Spirit. And so he wasn't just going, well, I'll try this.
No.
And can I remind you that Jesus didn't start operating in all these gifts until he was 30 years old. Days of preparation are never wasted. Never replace days of preparation with zeal.
Come on.
That's good.
I got to hurry up and get in the ministry. I got to hurry up and be. I got to hurry up and do it. I got to, get prepared.
Yeah.
Amen. Good. Praise the Lord. I got that from Pastor Nancy. Anyway. So it takes time and practice. You have to train. You have to become aware of some things. And I just want to ask you, are you aware when you're worrying? Check it out next time when you're laying there going, I wonder, and all of a sudden you go, wait a minute, that's worrying. Uh-huh. Come on, somebody. Yeah. And then are you aware when you're comparing? Oh, Oh, that guy makes more money in the office than I do. Oh, that person is da-da-da. Oh, their ministry's bigger than mine. Oh, da 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 da. Are you aware when you're starting to compare? Amen. See, you're going to check yourself out. Amen. So are you aware when you're trying to figure out the best way to do something? I talked to someone recently who needed an answer. And so we got together and we were praying, and the answer began to come forth in my prayer. Evidently the person didn't realize that, but the answer was coming forth. So after we prayed and the answer was coming and it was there, that person went right back to analyzing. Right back. As soon as we finished praying, I thought, why'd we pray? What's the use in praying? I didn't say it. They're growing. But I just said, okay, praise the Lord. You know, okay, Lord, da 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 da, and here's the answer, na 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 na. Thank you, Lord, that we can hear you, na na na. Well, and I was like, okay, praise the Lord. But we are going to get this.
Yes, yes.
We're going to get this, that once we believe we receive it, we're not going to go back and toil all in it again. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're going to live by the inside to the outside. Okay. Now, the local church. This is God's big plan. Most Christians totally miss the emphasis on the local church. They see the ecclesia, the universal church, the universal church. I think for people our age, guys, the reason why we begin to develop such a picture of the church as being worldwide is because of the charismatic movement, the different things where we looked at everything that was out there that wasn't contained in buildings. But the truth is we need to become very aware of local church. We need to become very aware of it. And I found out looking through the scripture that 80% of the time the word ecclesia was referring to local church. The apostle Paul would say, greet Aquila and Priscilla. No, he didn't. He said Priscilla and Aquila and at their house. 'Cause right then they had, you know, church house. And then he named off some other lady that had a church in her house. How about that? Anyway, and so then he would do all these, and he was talking about local churches. And 80% of the time, the ecclesia was, he was talking about local church. Now, people see ecclesia as, you heard this all of your Christian life, the called out ones, did you? The called out ones. But then, in the last few years, it got deeper for you because you found out what the Greeks said. The Greek people would actually use this term, that it is any duly convened assembly of citizens. So what we're seeing there is they used it as, for example, the legislature got together, the Congress got together, so the Senate would get together, or the ruling body would get together and make decisions, the school board would get together. Only the ecclesia would be the church of the living God getting together using their authority. That's good. That's real good. We needed to learn that. But I just looked into this recently, and I looked up the Jewish meaning, and I think you're going to get a kick out of this. This is really good. Called together by God in order to listen to or act for God.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that good? The Jewish meaning for the word ecclesia, I understand, don't write me a letter. I understand that ecclesia is not Hebrew. But when you take it back into their environments and you translate it back, what you find out is it's called together by God in order to listen to or act for God.
Yeah.
See, we need to see the ecclesia as it is a body of people, not so much assembling because they chose to get together, but assembling because God called them to himself.
Mm,
see, that helps you because you already kind of get that. You already get that. Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so the more as you see the day approaching. There's a lot of things we could say about that scripture. I just want to pick out what we need specifically for here. And that's the word forsake. Forsake in this verse actually means neglect. Do not neglect. So it's also used to signify, listen to this, this is so cool, the choice to leave someone to survive on their own. Isn't that interesting? So this is talking about abandonment. Pretty serious. Interesting, because you get down the next verse, it calls forsaking or neglecting. It actually calls it sin. Praise the Lord. So just look straight ahead and you're here. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So, but I think what we saw in that scripture, that we took it like this, don't forsake yourself. Because then you'll be out there a lone ranger by yourself, and the coyotes can pick you off quick. If you're a sheep out there by yourself. Y'all are grinning about coyotes, but they were right up next to our house last night, so whew, they've been busy. But so we kind of see it like that. We said, well, don't forsake meeting together, because I need to be there so I can get the food I need. Okay? That's kind of how we saw it. But actually, when you look into it deeper, it's telling you that if you don't come, you're cheating the people who are there. You're neglecting the people who are there. I'll say it like that. Maybe cheating wasn't the best word. And so, you know, if we don't go, we won't get fed and encouraged. That's a thought, and that's a good thought. Yeah. But the other side of that is that we forget that each member carries a significant contribution within themselves. We need each other here, whether you're preaching or just right now in this room pulling on the anointing. And when you walk through the doors, the people need you. These people that are in this room need you.
That is right.
And you think that we can do without you, but we can't. You know, as long as pastor shows up and the staff show up, I guess it'll be all right. No, we need you to be here.
Right.
It's so important to be the ecclesia. That doesn't mean that we all don't go on vacation and do other things. I'm not saying that. But I'm telling you that most of the time, it is our job to be here. So, I think that we forget that we rob the assembly when we don't all show up. When we say we need your supply, church, we mean it. This is not a way so that you can come here and we can count the numbers and say we did good. That's not a big interest to us. We want you here because you are doing something very specific right now while I'm preaching. You're doing something very specific. You know, if you're paying attention,
right.
And you are. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. So why is it so many Christians are careless with their church attendance? Because it's not a conscious decision. It's not like, I am not going to church. I'm not going. Now, somebody actually told me that the other day. I've really tried to avoid church all my life. But that's not us. That's just a new beginner or a heathen person saying that, right? But so it's not this conscious choice of, I will not go. This is what it is. Things got in the way.
Yeah.
Things got in the way. So they fail to see that God is calling us together. They're not seeing that. They're not picking up on that. They see church on the natural side. I'm going to church instead of, you know what I loved? I loved it in the old days when they called them meeting houses.
Yeah.
Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
Deb's great grandfather, great, 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 great grandfather. We go out to, when we're in New England, sometimes we go and visit his grave and it's in a setting where they had their meeting house out there. You know, some of that stuff's still standing in New England. And it's real interesting that they were called meeting houses. Mm-hmm. That makes more sense to me. Because you're the church.
Yeah.
I'm the church. Mm-hmm. This is just a meeting house. Praise the Lord. So I think it would be wonderful if we would keep that on our minds. But people see it on the natural side. And I would say that the answer is that they really need to realize that God is trusting them with a spiritual responsibility. Everyone in here is trusted with a spiritual responsibility to come here, pull on the anointing, love one another, encourage one another, sharpen one another. Amen. That's what we're called to do. So just the time that we're here for, you know, some come to coffee, they're here 30 minutes early. I think that's wonderful because you visit with the people and you encourage each other. And, you know, we don't have a lot of gossip going on here. We have good stuff going on. Thank you, Jesus. So I think that we need to understand, though, that when we walk through these doors, that this is considered holy ground, that this is a place where the Spirit of God can move. And the more of us that pull on that anointing, the more the glory of God will manifest and things can move. Your life will change, and then it'll cause people's lives to change out there. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. You know, some people just come to church when they're on duty, when it's their turn to do their job. But you're on duty right now.
Oh, yeah.
You're doing your job right now. But did you see that church is neutral? So, you know, because you have to get ready. You have to get the kids ready. And then we have to clean the church. And then we have to do, you should see all the things we have to do to make this thing work, you know, but praise the Lord. That's just the natural part, but we do that so that God Almighty, our Father, can call us to meet together so that we can do what we need to do in the Spirit and make things happen out in the natural. So it's totally worth it to me. It's such a privilege to be in the body of Christ and be in a local church. We're going to talk more about that in the future. We just need to realize that when we all meet together, we're meeting with God. He's talking. A lot of times when I'm preaching, you'll get a totally different download because the Spirit of God is moving, and people come and say later, you know what? The Lord showed me something while you were preaching. Might be on the same track, might not. Did you know, this is interesting, that Sunday morning that me and Pastor George preached the same sermon? Did y'all go watch that? Isn't that interesting? I watched it after church. He used the same scripture and talked about nearly the same things. Danny sent me a text and said, well, I see some people are on the same page or something like that. Isn't that interesting? See, Holy Ghost knows what he's doing. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So we just need to realize this. So he wants to say, reveal, impart, provide, change, and heal. That's what he wants to do. He wants you to be healed by 8 o'clock. You got 20 minutes. Take it.
No.
So in the natural, you're not going to feel the Lord grab you at 6:30 by the collar. You're not going to feel that in the natural and say, get yourself up and go over there. You're not going to feel that. But if you have any depth in your spirit, if you're spiritually aware, you're going to be conscious of this urging, a longing, an anticipation, the excitement of gathering together. Mm-hmm. Jesse Wallace was in here jumping up and down a while ago like, oh boy, in a minute we're going to have church. She's excited. She wants to move in the Spirit, flow in the Spirit. Praise God. David said, in Psalm 122, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So you're going to notice that urging. I want to go.
Yeah.
I never ask my body if we're going to church.
Oh, no.
It just gets ready to go.
Yep.
Praise the Lord. I get in there, get ready to go. I look at the dogs and I say, we're going to church. And they all go, And they march to their room. Now they pray with us every 4 days a week, don't they? I have witnesses. They get in there and they lay there and pray. I think they're passed out in the spirit or something, but they're doing it. Praise the Lord. But it's the same thing every time we come. Okay, they're going to church again. Well, they're always going to church. Yes, the church is going to church. Amen. In preparing for wealth transfer, this is the fourth and the final one. In preparing for a wealth transfer from the open hand of God, we have to get the right perception. Today, Danny, while we were praying, Danny said this in the prayer time. She said, you need wisdom to walk in prosperity. You don't need wisdom to get rich. But you need wisdom to walk in the prosperity of God. And that just really stuck with me because it's so true. There's a whole different perception when it comes to wealth when you're in the kingdom. It means a whole different thing to you. It means that you can, that you are able to push back darkness, that you're able to help people go free, that you're able to send. You mentioned that today. You're able to send. You're able to go. We talked about the fact that it's nice if you had enough money in your account that if God wanted to send you somewhere, you wouldn't have to go, I don't know how I'm going to get there. You would have the money and you could go. Or you'd have the money to send someone, whatever the case may be. Or bring someone home as we did this last year. Several, like 17, I think. Praise the Lord. So, it's so important. And I don't think that I probably need to say this to anyone who watches online or anyone in this room, but if this is new to you and you think this prosperity message is just a bunch of phooey, then you haven't looked close enough. We're talking about taking the ability of God and blessing mankind. We're talking about more than just money, although we're talking about money. We're talking about being able to use it to wipe out some things, to help some things. Certainly have that. It's not just all about you having it. It's about you getting it and giving it and getting it and giving it and getting it and giving it and moving this gospel forward. And so when people say, well, you know, all I need is enough for us four and no more, then that's the most selfish thing you could ever say. You should have more than enough, because if you have more than enough, you can get the gospel around the world. Amen. So you need wisdom. You need some perception. Now, I want you to hear this as we're going to close here in just a minute. Don't turn me off. You got to hear this. This is really neat. Mark 4:25. Everyone's very familiar with it. Mark 4:25. It says this. Y'all want to go there? Okay. Go on over there. I just happen to be on that page. I think my Bible opens to Mark 4. It's important. Mark 4 or Mark 11. Those two things. Glory to God. You got there? Okay. Whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Got it? Okay. That means that if you're taught something and you continue in it, you will gain more. If you get some wisdom, you can get more wisdom. If you get right perception, you can get more right perception. It means more, though. Nothing succeeds like success or fails like failure. Walk with me. Okay. One thing leads the way to another of the same kind. One thing you have will lead to this another of that same kind. That's a biblical principle. It's just like this. If you complain, then the devil's going to give you something to complain about. He will help you with that. Okay? If you praise, God's going to give you something to help you praise more. You're turning on heaven or hell. It's your choice.
Wow.
Amen. If you have an understand word, in fact, Jesus said it a little further, a little before we got here. He said, if you can understand this parable, you can understand all of them. What's he saying? If you get this, you're going to get more. That's what he's saying. If you can get this, you're going to get more. That's why it's so important to get revelation, so you can get more revelation. So one thing leads the way to another of the same kind. So in the spiritual sphere, in particular, he who possesses the hearing ear and the understanding heart will find them improved by use. If you use your hearing and your understanding, it'll improve. You'll catch things in the spirit quicker. Come on. You'll catch things in the spirit quicker and you'll move forward. You just start getting, if you will press in, that's why that total immersion stuff works. that when we all go away to the conference and we all totally get in that word, it's because it changes us so much and then more of our life gets added to. Not one person has ever told me when we're leaving that place, everyone has said, now I know why you do this. Every person.
Yep.
And there's been 70 at a time. Sometimes we've taken 5, sometimes 18, sometimes 30, sometimes 70 people go. Mm-hmm. I got to tell the people at KCM that this last week. But anyway, but you get more. And then you understand more. If you get some understanding, you're going to get more understanding. If you get the right perception, you're going to get more right perception. One thing leads to another, the same kind. Now, I'm just going to say this plain out, so take your religious junk off, okay? Mm-hmm. If you have some money, you're going to get some more money.
True. That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
No. If you have some money, you will get some more money.
Yeah.
Just like it's your perception.
True.
That's why. Long time ago, our teachers taught us to put a $100 bill in our wallet. Because then we always, what?
Had money.
Had money.
Right.
You know, sometimes it's hard not to keep giving it away. So what I did was I put another 100 in there so I could give that one away and keep my 100. You'll get there. You may already be there. But so you have $100. So you have money. Now, I can remember when that was real big to me. It was like, ha, I have money. You know, I mean, to me, you know, $2 was a lot back when I was poor. But now $100's not that much, but I do have money. I have money. Are you with me? You have money. Most of you have a $100 bill right now because of what you've been taught. Don't shut me down because I'm talking finances. You must prepare yourself for a wealth transfer so that we can get the gospel out.
That's right.
It is, Margaret. That's a real truth. Now, let me finish here. Almost done. If you have some money, you have perception that you have some money. Y'all understand perception? You remember when David perceived he was king?
Yeah.
Changed everything. You remember when you first perceived that God loved you? Man, God loves me. Jesus loves me. God, remember when you perceived that? Remember when you perceived you were really free? Remember when you perceived you were saved by grace and not by works? Nobody could judge you according to your works? Amen. So that perception is very important. So you perceive. So now what we talked about doing, and you don't have to get involved in this, but we talked about for anyone who wanted to do this is, so we've been at that $100 mark for a long time. So what if we all put our faith out there and believed, and some of you are way past this, I understand that. What if you believed, did you know that 50% of Americans don't even have $1,000 in the bank? Ooh, savings account, any account. They don't have, it's quiet in here. I think I better go out the door right now or I'm gonna get close to the door over here. It needs to be taught. We need to think about this. I heard Gary Cassie say this. Okay, 50% of the people don't even have $1,000 in their account. Well, what if every one of us did? It's quiet in here. What if you have it? Well, so some of you do. Come on.
Yeah.
So you're like, well, I do, so I'm not protected. No, no, no. Come on. Come on. Yeah. What if everybody who usually just has more month than money? Mm-hmm. Come on.
Yeah.
What if that changed?
Yes.
Yeah.
What if you had $1,000 in the bank and you didn't spend it? You didn't go do what my mama used to say. She used to say, y'all kids think that money will burn a hole in your pocket. You got to spend it as soon as you get it. She was trying to teach us something. She was trying to say, you could save it. I always could save the money because I had my money. You know how my $1.56, and we go into the five and dime. You are too young for five and dime, but we had five and dime. Anybody remember five and dime? Okay, so we had the five and dime, and my two aunts would take me to the five and dime. And in the five and dime, there were rows of toys. And so I'd take my money in there. And Aunt Barbara and Aunt Dorothy would go down the aisle with me, and I'd say, and I want this, and I'd like to have this. And they'd say, well, honey, you're way over $1.50, but that's okay. And they would take me up and buy it for me. That's the kind of God we serve. Amen. But after a while, I learned that I did not need to have more month than money. Now, I had the aunties paying my way back then, but I finally had to learn in my life that you don't do that.
Right.
Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Maybe you're just thinking about this, but, there's some things that we need to do. If you had $1,000 more, then more's going to show up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it will. I proved it a lot of times. It's the absolute truth. So this is not, the idea is not to spend that money. Come on. Can I shake you? So you're like, well, why are you talking about this? Listen, we have to talk about natural basic things to get your perception to get over there if you're going to have the success in the natural. So if this doesn't apply to you, then get on board for everybody else here. So I'm talking about preparing for a wealth transfer. If you can't manage $1,000, how are you going to manage $1 million?
Yeah, that's good.
Well, when I get the million, I'll go out and I can buy a Hummer for $300,000, and then I can go on a vacation to Hawaii for 6 months and spend the rest of it. See, you have to get the right perception in life.
Yeah.
Money is a tool. It's a tool to be used. That's all it is. That's where the power of it is. Prayer is the highest power. Money's not the highest power. Prayer is the highest power. But that money is a tool that can be used to make covenant in your life. God wants to keep covenant with you to destroy the works of the devil.
Yeah.
Amen. And to get the gospel out.
Yeah. That is right.
Those are the three things that it's about. So he who possesses something and cultivates what they have gets more. Now, this is just one thing, but it's a good thing. It's practical. And I'm probably speaking to all different levels in the room. Some folks here are just saying, you don't understand, Pastor. I just need $1,000 right now to catch up. If I just had $1,000, I could catch up. Well, then here's your question then. Why are you behind? Yeah, I'm on a medal for just a minute. Why are you behind? I would probably say that the answer is that you have more going out than coming in. It's that simple. Isn't that right? And so you have to change that way back here at the beginning. Yeah, but you haven't so far.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, my wife's getting quieter. Larry, can you get me out of here protecting? Okay. Yeah, okay. He's got me. Okay. So, that's your first challenge. Fix that. Fix that. Change it where there's more money than month. Well, how am I going to do that? Well, you're going to start using your faith. You're going to believe God for more clients or a better job. And you're going to stop doing some things until you have it to do.
Yeah.
Okay? Well, I don't make enough money to live where I live. Move. Well, I don't make enough money to travel and go to the dentist at the same time. Go to the dentist. Then the travel will come. So, well, what does that have to do with it? It does. It's responsibility. Amen. Well, my job doesn't pay enough to make all my bills. What are you going to do about that? Get less bills and look for another job. Get going. At the same time, make sure that you're a tither. Because God adds supernatural to the tither.
He does.
Amen.
He
This may, you may not need this, but this is helping somebody here or someone online. We have to tell them how to get started, church. You have to take some responsibility and get the right perception. Amen. We've all messed up at all these things, but now we're moving forward. Maybe you haven't messed up in a long time. Glory to God. So maybe you just need to get on a budget. Now I want to say something to you. Give when God says to give. Don't give to win approval. Don't give to win approval. Well, I'm going to buy Pastor a la 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 because then she'll love me. That's ridiculous. I love you anyway. Well, I'm going to buy so-and-so something. Maybe they'll like me. No, no. That's, you do not win approval. You don't win God's approval that way. He already approves of you. He already loves you. Now, when you obey him, when he tells you to give something, then there's promotion coming. That's when you're going to have more. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You can move forward. Then maybe you're comfortable and you have a savings. Then here's what you do. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you to the next challenge of responsibility. Because you need to get, you're like, well, I'm okay. I've got about $1 million put away. I'm doing all right. Things are good. I'm debt free. I'm debt, my car's, you know, you may be saying all these things. Well, guess what? You still need to grow up more. You need to handle more. You need to be able to handle more. There's nothing wrong with handling more. Well, I don't want the responsibility. I've heard people say, I don't want to make any money because then I have to pay taxes. Pay them.
Yeah.
Pay them and live.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want them to get it. Come on, man. Praise the Lord. Give to Caesar what's his and move on. Amen. Praise the Lord. Someday all that'll turn around too. All right. So do y'all still love me?
Oh, yeah.
I have to tell you, you have to start getting a hold of these things and thinking about them in a better way. And I realize many of you already do that. But if there's anyone here, anyone in the sound of my voice, and you want to participate on that, you're going to use your faith to believe God for $1,000, then I'm going to be your two. And you can tell me, not right now, but you can tell me that after church, and I'm going to stand with you, and we're going to believe God that you're going to have your first $1,000, and you're going to keep it, and then you're going to perceive that you have a little bit of wealth there, and that you can get much, much more. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, so just to finish up here, get a plan for health and receive from the open hand of God. Check out to see if you're living from your spirit. Receive from the open hand of God. Get fresh revelation of the local church. Receive from the hand of God. Prepare for the wealth transfer. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you. Resist temptation and presumption. Well, I'm just faith it in. I can't make this half payment, but I'm going to live here and I'm just going to faith it in. Can I tell you that you need to be very mindful in that one area? Presumption could cost you much. It could cost you much. Stay within what you have. Believe for socks and then shoes. Start where you are with your faith and watch your faith progress. Get a headache healed. Amen. Start believing God for a new toenail or whatever. Glory to God. 3 new toenails are coming in the room. I feel it right now. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody needs some. God cares about that. He cares about that. And I told you, and I'm just going to go on record and say this. So just to get your, I'll give you a faith extender, okay? Because if I can do this, you can do this. So first of all, I do have more than $1,000, okay? Thank you, Lord. And I have accounts, okay? Because I learned this a while back, okay? But I decided this year, you know what? I've just watched my account, you know, Christmas shop and all that. So I've watched my account for the last 3 years, kind of just do like this. Not my savings, but my other accounts, kind of do like this. I'm going to do something better. So I'm just going to make it a goal that I'm going to put my faith out there and save $10,000 in 2022. Okay? So I put a goal. You hear me? I made a goal and prayed about it. Okay, so I figured it out that I needed $210 a week to meet that goal. Okay. If I save $210, I'll have $10,000 by December 31st, 2022. Okay. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Wasn't it? Okay. I have my financier here. So anyway, so I started and I had another bank account and somewhere else. And so I just would shift the money over to that 210. Okay. We're in January, right?
Yeah.
So the big tractor started coming.
Yeah.
God overtook me. Okay. We're not even hitting February. You want to know how much money I have? $8,000. I didn't do it. I can't even tell you where it came from. Just little extra things that I did. Mm-hmm. Pulpit ministry stuff that y'all blessed me with. Stuff like just little extras that came in. And I only have 2,000 more to make it for. Look, Karina, I have 8 months to make $2,000 and I'll reach my goal. Now, that didn't happen to me because I'm a preacher. It happened to me because I'm a giver.
Yes,
and because I use my faith. And I'm just telling you, I'll join my faith with you. You'll have $1,000 before you reach the time of the goal. Amen. And maybe some of you want to set a 10,000. It wouldn't hurt for you to have some money in the bank that you don't have to use for anything unless the Lord told you to use it. Amen.